Our thanks also to Tiffany and Sajaya for organizing this. This is near and dear to our hearts. I hope as you see through this, following Tom Turpin is a little bit trepidatious, I would say. Not only has he challenged us with our PowerPoints, but we have followed Tom's exploits for many, many years and his successes in this arena. So to be up here with Tom is really good, and I'd like to echo many of the things. In fact, we will be an example of some of the things that, Tom has expressed. Let's see. We pretty much, as Tom was talking about earlier, this is going to go back. I'm going to take a little bit of history and carry you up to today and talk to you a little bit about some of the things that we have done in terms of harnessing the passion of entomology in the course of revitalizing the undergraduate majors. We were very much a research-focused department, heavily research-focused, in fact. We were also an undergraduate program that was very small, one of the smallest in the 14 departments that are in our college. In fact, a lot of the times we were right next to the bottom, next to forest science. We would have anywhere from 20 to 35 majors in our program, and that major tended to take a Texas flavor. In that, our majors were primarily rural males interested in IPM, crop protection, that sort of thing, very much like Tom was describing. We also were somewhat isolated from many of the issues in higher education that were going on nationally and even at the state level. We were very complacent in our attitudes. Part of that complacency had to do with our questionable commitment that the institution had to college teaching. They didn't reward teaching. Teaching was not high on their agenda through the many of these decades, and therefore faculty were very questionable about what about this emphasis. But in the 1990s, we sure picked up on some winds of change. Among those, first and foremost, we might say, were the public concerns about higher education. A lot of their children were going through taking 5, 6, in some cases 7 years, depends on what plan they're on, obviously. But it was taking them longer to get through, and it was costing much more than it had in the past. At the same time, our state population was increasing. We have at least 4 major metropolitan areas, and those alone were increasing at extensive rates, and we also were seeing our demographics change. The ethnicity of our population is changing and projected to change. All of these things were also changing our legislature. We've seen the legislature change from being rural-based to being urban-based, and many of their concerns through the public were changing over to issues of higher education. At the same time, our university was growing. In 1978, when I first came to A&M, we had 28,000 students, 28,000. Today, we're almost at 50,000. We've doubled in that period of time. These are some data points that would give you some example of the 2000, 2005 to 2008 numbers. And you'll see in that period, there was a decline, actually, in the number of students in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And the first time this fall, that trend has been somewhat reversed. So the expectations then the university began to put on the Department of Entomology, and not just us, but all departments, was the expectation that they wanted programs to grow, to serve this increasing need of the student body, and to serve the increasing need of the outside, the external demands on higher education. They were putting to us performance measures. They were increasing our accountability with respect to our teaching program. And at the same time, there was a desire to increase the diversity of our faculty and correspondingly with the diversity of our student body. Okay, so our awakening came, and we can trace this back to about 1994. We had 32 majors that year. We were the third most expensive department in our teaching program, not in the college, but in the entire university. Our performance on teaching was basically flat. We were not growing in majors. We were not increasing the numbers of students we were teaching in our classes. Our classroom teaching was not matching our appointments. And in fact, those of you who know about faculty workloads, and because of the way that we are structured in the state of Texas through our Higher Education Coordinating Board, we could fulfill those teaching workloads by meeting non-classroom teaching activities. And we can still do that today. But the institution began to turn their accountability to classroom teaching. Well, the writing was on the wall. We needed to either grow or something else was going to happen to us. Okay, so what did we do? There was a series over the years of quite a number of curriculum retreats dealing with recruiting, a lot of things that convinced us that what we had to do was to change our product. We had to change what we were offering, how we were offering it, and who we were recruiting to. It was clear that we had a passion about entomology, but it was how we shared that and how we used that to recruit students into our program that was important to us. And the one unique thing, going back to even some of the things that Tom said, there's consistency. And that's from parents, from students that are outside, have not yet come to the university, and from transfer students or students who are taking introductory courses was, I never knew this existed. Entomology's visibility, as Tom has put it, was extremely low. And furthermore, we were told by some student leadership groups who are not entomologists on our own campus that we were really missing the boat because we were not marketing the global perspective of entomology. And when you start thinking about it, really becomes awesome, and it's got many interconnecting pieces. So we began to really think about repackaging something that was relevant, something that was modern, and something that was exciting, responding to different kinds of student interests. Okay, and marketing that curriculum for growth. And the long-term thing is we knew we needed to have some sustainability in this program, which we'll talk about briefly. Flexibility in this is the key. In these changes, we went from 132-hour program down to 120-hour program. This was sweeping this thing, kind of demanded for the institution from the legislature to get kids through on a more timely manner. And we did this still with 12 hours of free electives and 18 hours of directed technical electives over and above the entomology. Included in this were still our fundamentals of taxonomy, morphology, physiology, and ecology. And oh, by the way, we then decided we needed to add insect biotechnology as one of those core areas of fundamental knowledge. We then recognized as well that we needed something in addition to that to bring students into our classroom and to bring students to to entomology in general. One of those elements was called a double major program. Texas A&M did not have a minors program until very recently. So the 14 departments in the College of Ag and Life Sciences designed basically a double major program, which allows you to get, at least in part of a major from another discipline. You can have a primary major in your home department, then you could reach out and take courses in another area. We required 17 hours for this. Then after we had this well running, the entire university decided, let's develop a minors program. We participate in that. There's a categorical set of 15 hours of entomology you complete. You don't even have to come in for advising to do this. The students can sign up for it, complete those courses, and it goes on their transcript. The double major goes on your diploma as well as on the transcript. So there's some marketability there. And the other thing is that we allowed a free selection of upper division entomology courses to fit into some of this flexibility. So if you've got students that are biomedical science students or animal science students, they may want veterinary and medical entomology, for example. Additional actions that we've taken. The key thing in this was to provide for experiential learning and the development of really good skill sets. Internship and research experience was a mandatory piece in the new curriculum. And throughout this, we've been further engaging what I really call practicing entomologists. Not we folks that are faculty members, but people outside who actually practice entomology on a daily basis. You see three people here. The two young ladies that are talking to my class just 2 weeks ago are some of our IPM specialists that work in communities. And I've never seen a class light up the way these two young ladies can excite them. The gentleman in the lower right is the director of the Harris County Mosquito Control District, Rudy Bueno, who ties together a lot of the things that the students are learning from their basics all the way into medical ent, and tie those to opportunities down in the Harris County District. And last but not least, we have developed a capstone course, which really looks at how do we solve problems in the real world. Other aspects of sustainability that need to be thought about as you start developing this, bringing these majors and enhancing majors, is to be sure that you've got a good advising team. Our college has long been known for the quality of the advising service it's provided, But Rebecca Hape's here, and three of our faculty members are engaged as a team that actually do our advising, and they're highly respected for this. And students laud the interaction that they have with this particular group. Advertising and marketing are key, as Tom had pointed out earlier. We too engage in university-based orientation classes, general studies advisors, who bring students out of the general studies who have to declare a major within a certain period of time. Prospective student studies, on campus and off campus. We have what's called Aggieland Saturday that's somewhat like Bug Bowl, only it involves all the disciplines on our campus. And another thing is we are careful about who we put in our introductory courses. Particularly our faculty need to be good teachers. And supplementing that, we try to place the very best TAs, TAs with good experience, quality interpersonal skills, because they become some of the best recruiters for majors out of these other disciplines. There are really two pools that you're looking at. You're looking at the pool of students who are admitted to your campus, so they're already in the admissions process and they may be wandering around. How many times do you think, on average, students change their majors? Is it two? Three? No, it's more like four times. You can be that safety net, and there are many of our disciplines, other sciences as well, who offer that opportunity. Entomology is one. We also deal with outreach, and I won't go over some of the things that Tom said, except I'm going to echo this. I'm an example. I was very interested in insects as a youngster, preschool, joined 4-H at the fourth grade. So when he said fifth grade, I already knew. It was interaction with Extension, my county agent, and my high school math and science teachers who got me connected to entomology. And oh, by the way, it was the 4-H program and going to the state 4-H roundup at Oklahoma State University that gave me access to faculty in the Department of Entomology. I grew up on a dairy farm. I was also interested in dairy, but I soon realized that those chores were not where I wanted to be. Entomology was the neat science. It was the discovery part. So this has always been my truth. The other key pieces here, scholarships, understanding what needs to be for student orientation and evaluation of those students' performance and nurturing them all the way through to graduation is a key element in this. Tom also echoed this, and I wanted to show you some examples. These are all courses that we've put online since the late 1990s. And some of these have been really key. And the piece here is they're targeted for marketing and recruiting. In fact, we have a requirement for faculty who come to bring a new course syllabus for our education committee to look at. They not only have to present that syllabus, they have to present a marketing plan for how they're going to sustain that course. That becomes extremely important. In this, you see Insects and Human Society, a complementary piece here, Biotechnology and Society. Craig Coates teaches this, looking at issues about GMOs, and this takes this to a global perspective. Honeybee Biology, believe it or not, Tanya Pankew has done an awesome job with this course. It's our most successful distance course, but most importantly to us, the Department of Agriculture Leadership, Education, and Development has selected this course as a recommended technical elective. Why? Because it looks at matriarchal leadership in a society, and they're using honeybees as a way of getting the students engaged in those kinds of dimensions. Yeah, I know, you never know where these kinds of connections are going to come from. It's awesome. And similarly, in 1998, we started with the Science of Forensic Entomology, which is a lecture and a complementary laboratory, Applied Forensic Entomology, and it began to get us over into liberal arts, yes, believe it or not, sociology, lots of other disciplines were coming over and taking a class in entomology, and like Tom said, some of those who have these off-the-wall, if you will, interests in entomology that come late have come in as majors and have done the backfill of the courses and have gone on to do great things. We have a set of two faculty who are engaged in study abroad programs in three courses that are cross-listed with wildlife and fisheries sciences. And we have a forthcoming course that's coming on board this spring that's public health entomology. And I'll use this as a core connection because the request and the support for this is going to come out of our biomedical science program. 2,700 students in that program. Okay, think about that. And as Tom said, they can't all be vets and they can't all be MDs. This has been one of our best growth areas. We also have upper division medical entomology, but now we're going to put an introductory piece that's going to look at globalized public health. I think it's going to be a great winner for us. Two other things, things that have to do with faculty. Think about this. You need to be sure that your classroom teaching is aligned with appointments. And secondly, over the course of the last 10 years, we have shifted what we look for in terms of new faculty. Okay? Most of us were never ever trained in college teaching. And yet when we start looking for new faculty, we would like to see credentials and experience, okay? And then a proof of concept, if you will, when you come to interview with us. So we will have you do not only a research seminar, if the appointment covers teaching, you will also do a teaching seminar. And a lot of the discussion and a lot of the time we spend with you will be talking about how to develop your teaching side, not just the research side. This has taken a lot of time and effort to get faculty to begin to think about. Because left to our vices, what do? We all tend to think about research, and that's where our discussions and things go. But there's much more to this. And by the way, we have a Center for Teaching Excellence that has developed a graduate teaching fellows program. So on the graduate teaching side, if we know the graduate students are interested in becoming a faculty member at a four-year institution, they need to develop their teaching credentials. And they can do this with a whole series of activities that ultimately garners them the title of graduate teaching fellow at our institution. That has played tremendous benefits for several students who have gone on to higher education institutions elsewhere. Further in results, this has enabled us to reach across departments in our college and, more importantly, across the 10 colleges on our campus. We've increased our student credit, our student contact hours, and what we call weighted student credit hours, which is tied to subvention. Oh yeah, that's revenue stream back to the university. There are two revenue streams that most people that you need to understand, I think, within these institutions. One is, yes, research. The overhead, all those expenses. But the other piece is all the money that flows from the state that comes in on the teaching side. We've increased our majors, double minors and majors, and our diversity. Let me show you right quick. Get this to come up. One of the pieces that has struck us, if you go back, we were all male students in the early 90s, late 80s. This shows a gender difference now. We are more predominantly female than we are male. Okay? Now look at this. In 2000, we had a very small number. A 2% margin is one student, okay, with the number of students that we had at that particular time. Now look at this in 2006, the most recent data we have on this. We are growing in diversity. In fact, our department was recognized and lauded as the most culturally diverse department in our college, not once but twice. We're very proud of that. And I think those of you who are looking for some folks with different kinds of backgrounds for graduate school, faculty members, and that sort of thing, might be interested in coming and harvesting some folks from Texas A&M. We've got some great students. Overall, this shows you the growth of this department, including when we had our double majors, that's the magenta part, and then we added the minors section, what this has done to our enrollment. And when we did one more thing here, okay, and before we get to that, our students, once you get to a certain level and you get them excited about this, they become your own recruiters. They become ambassadors for your program. The next thing you know, they're dragging somebody in who's very interested in something that they've heard about entomology and want to take a class and sign up. And a lot of our targeting in terms of timing comes right when we're doing pre-registration for the next semester. It's decision time, okay? Am I staying with this major? Do I need a new major? What new course? What new elective? Free, technical, all those kinds of things are made. Regaining faculty positions. Teaching is really critical in doing this and sustaining a faculty. And when we did this in the beginning and we had a lot of reticent people in our faculty who said they're not putting anything on the table for us. They want us to grow and they're not giving us any resources. They're not going to. This was going to be painful, and we knew that we had to grow before we could get to a point that we could justify turning this around. This last year, for the first time since long before I was there, is the first record of any shift in teaching monies on our campus. And we were the benefactors of this, okay? In part because of all this growth, and one other thing that we did, which is we added the second degree. We started about 4 years ago in developing this. We had to go through the Higher Education Coordinating Board to even have the authority to have such a degree on our campus. It's not just forensics, it's forensic and investigative science. And it's built upon the very basic piece that our 110-year-old department does, and that's problem solving. It's been a really cool thing to see emerge. This has now garnered, we have 37 majors in this, and it's the end of its first year. We have a good sized number of students that are lining up for our freshman class next year. So we think the future is really bright. And where we thought when we launched this that our numbers of entomology majors might decline a little bit, we've been surprised. It's not declined very much at all. We had a few transfers over, but we're now sitting today at 100 majors. Okay, and with that, I'll close to keep us on time. This is our final slide if you want to look at some websites. Thank you.